means intense antagonism or hostility towards someone. Intense antagonism or hostility toward someone. The Greek word, which we've just talked about, pakria, the noun, is bitterness, animosity, anger, or harshness. Bitterness, animosity, anger, or harshness. Here's a definition. Okay? Bitterness, this should be in your notes. Bitterness, having intense opposition, hostility, or hatred in your heart towards someone else. That first one right there, bitterness, this is from Bible scholar A. Wood. Bitterness is the opposite of kindness. It is the spite that harbors resentment and keeps score of wrongs. The Word of God tells us to keep no record of wrongs. It says love keeps no record of wrongs. Bitterness is the opposite of kindness. It's the spite that harbors resentment and keeps score of wrongs. Andrew Lincoln says this, bitterness is the hard-heartedness that harbors resentment about the past. And you should have one more there. Aristotle said, bitterness is the resentful spirit which refuses reconciliation. Bitterness is the resentful spirit which refuses reconciliation. In your notes, we have a definition. Bitterness is having intense opposition, hostility, or hatred in your heart toward someone else. Bitterness is having intense opposition, hostility, or hatred in your heart towards someone else. Trinity Baptist, this attitude is like acid to the soul. And it is forbidden for the Christian. It is forbidden for the Christian. Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter 3, verse 9. If you're familiar with Romans, you know that the point of Romans is explaining salvation. Explaining salvation. And 1, 2, and 3 is Paul going into detail about the fact that everyone is a sinner. In chapter 1, he talks about how we slide down this road of corruption. Chapter 2, he says, Jew and Gentile alike are sinner. Religious person and unreligious person is sinner. And then in chapter 3, he just summarizes it. And in verse 9, we have this beautiful statement condemning all of mankind. Because we are all sinners. Look at verse 9, Romans 3. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. They have together become useless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Look at the description. Their throats are open graves. This is us. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Paul says, our mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, pekria. Here's some statements about bitterness. Number one in your notes, bitterness is one of the things that separates sinful human beings from a holy God. Bitterness is one of the things that separates sinful human beings from a holy God. Number two in your notes, bitterness is one of our crimes against our Creator. Bitterness is one of our crimes against our Creator. Number three, bitterness is one result of the pollution and distortion of humanity. Bitterness is one result of the pollution and distortion of humanity. And finally, a concluding statement. Bitterness is sin. I told you that the bitterness came in four different forms, and one of them is the verb. And probably the most powerful and convicting instance of the verb, pekriano or pekrino, is Colossians chapter 3. Please turn there. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is telling us to take off the old man. The old man is polluted, he is corrupted, he is damaged, he is what we need to be saved from. Amen? We are saved from the old man. And Paul says, put on the new man, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. The new man is what Jesus is trying to make us into. And then Paul, as he usually does in his letters, gives some specifics of what it means to put on the new man. What is the new man like? He gets specific for marriages in verse 18. Look at verse 18. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. That's what it means for a wife to take off the old and put on the new. What does it mean for a husband? Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Harsh, if you have the NIV, is the Greek word to become bitter, pekrino. The idea here is don't have a bad attitude toward your wife. Husbands are warned not to have bitterness or resentment toward our wives. The Greek verb is in the present tense, which means a continual action. Paul is saying, break the bad habit of being harsh or irritable with your wife. A Christian husband is the head of the house, but as such, he is not permitted to be harsh or cross with his wife. Turn to James chapter 3. And let's look at the adjective. Colossians 3 is the verb. Turn to James chapter 3. Let's look at the adjective. Powerful scripture. Now, just like in English, in Greek, bitter can be used both physically and emotionally. Emotional is obviously our focus this morning. The emotional use is bitterness being resentment, hatred, anger, that type of thing. But just like in English, in Greek, the word can also be used in the literal sense, like a bitter lemon, something having a bitter taste. And that's the use here in James chapter 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Please pray for me in that regard. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are stirred by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word salt water in verse 11 is our adjective bitter, pekros. And again, that's the literal use and not the emotional use. But I read this passage because it's powerful. Blessings and encouragement are compared to fresh water. Words of cursing, unkind, unchristian words, words that do not build each other up, are compared to bitter water. And you understand that when James says cursing, he's not talking about just profanity. To bless someone is to build them up. To curse them is to tear them down. Any words that tear down someone else are unfitting for a Christian. Let's look again at our definitions of bitterness. You've got them in your notes. Bitterness is having intense opposition, hostility, or hatred in your heart towards someone else. A. Wood says this, bitterness is the opposite of kindness. It is the spite that harbors resentment and keeps score of wrongs. Andrew Lincoln says, bitterness is the hard-heartedness that harbors resentment about the past. And of course, Aristotle, bitterness is the resentful spirit which refuses reconciliation. Is this attitude in your heart? You know, it's very tempting to be bitter. Have you noticed that? When you are mad at someone, when someone wrongs you, when someone hurts you, when someone does something that makes you angry, it is very tempting to be bitter. And there's something inside of us, the corruption, the pollution, that wants to be bitter. In a way, it feels good to be bitter. But we must forsake bitterness. Because bitterness is acid to the soul. Trinity Baptist, if you are bitter this morning, let it go. It is poison to relationships. It is poison to your marriage. It is poison to your family. And it is poison to our church. If you are bitter this morning, let it go. What are we supposed to do instead? What are we supposed to do instead? In your notes, you should have five things about loving your enemies. And I think I've skipped a bunch of stuff. How did that get there? We'll get to that. Don't throw away your notes. You might have to skip around a bit. You can't sleep this morning. All right. Five things to do to your enemies. Is that on the sheet somewhere?
Yes, on the back.
Praise the Lord. On the back. Five things to do to your enemies. Five things to do to your enemies. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, 27. And you're going to think I only have four, but I have five. So you just got to stay with me. Luke 6, 27. These are the beautiful words of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Did you hear that? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High. Why are we associated with God when we love our enemies? Why are we associated with God when we love our enemies? The scripture says, because he, that is God, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. We're going to do four quickly. We'll do the fifth a little bit later. Five things to do to our enemies. Number one, love them. Number two, do good to them. Number three, bless them. And number four, pray for them. Love them, do good to them, bless them, and pray for them. What does it mean to bless your enemy? The Greek word bless is the word eulogeo. It means to speak well of someone. Speak well of someone. To bless your enemy is to speak to him or her with encouraging or uplifting words. In this verse, it means to be kind, To bless your enemies is to say kind words to them. The Greek word euangeo, the verb, is present active imperative. Present active imperative. That is very significant. Let me tell you why. Present active imperative, it means it's a commanded habit. A commanded habit. Jesus commands us to love our enemies. And he commands us to continually say kind, uplifting, encouraging things to them. Jesus commands this to be our lifestyle. It is not a one-time thing. Not only are we to bless them, but we are to love them, we are to do good to them, and we are to pray for them. This is the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says the exact same thing. Would you join me, please, in Romans chapter 12? Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He says, offer God your body as a sacrifice. Now, as Paul usually does in his letters, just like he did in Colossians, he tells us what that means in specific terms. Skip to verse 14. Romans 12, 14. What does it mean to offer God your body as a living sacrifice? It means you bless those who persecute you. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the glorious way of Jesus. Do you want to embrace Jesus' way of life? Do you want to embrace Jesus' way of life? This is it. Bless those who persecute you. Do not be proud, but be humble toward others. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. This is the glorious way of Jesus. Will you embrace Jesus' way of life? Instead of bitterness, God wants us to do something else. And this is number 5. 5 things to do to our enemies. Love them, do good to them, bless them, pray for them. And you can probably guess it. It's the opposite of bitterness. Forgive them. Forgive them. That's number 5. Open to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We've been called to be holy. We've been called to be children of God. We've been called to be saints. And Paul says, live a life worthy of that calling. What does that mean? What does it mean to live a life worthy of our glorious calling in Christ? Well, as Paul usually does, if you just keep on reading, he gives us the specifics. Skip to verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Remember, this is Paul saying, what does it mean to live a life worthy of the Lord? What does that mean? How do we live a life worthy of our calling? Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What does it mean to live a life worthy of our glorious calling as Christians? It means we are to get rid of all bitterness. And again, it's a command. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not advice. It's a command. We are commanded in Scripture to get rid of all bitterness. All bitterness must be removed from us. Get rid of is the Greek word airo. Wonderful word. There's a powerful use of this word in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Keep your finger in Ephesians, because we're going to stay there for the rest of the morning. Keep your finger in Ephesians and quickly move to 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his father's wife. And you are proud. Shouldn't you rather be filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Put out is our Greek word, airo. Paul says, remove that guy from the church. Get him out of there. And you know what? In Ephesians chapter 4, we're to do the same thing to bitterness. Get it out. Remove it. He says, remove all bitterness from you. Remove all bitterness from you. I told you I'd go back to statement number 5, and here it is. Bitterness is an intruder in the heart of a Christian. It must be removed. Bitterness is an intruder in the heart of a Christian. It must be removed. Brothers and sisters, bitterness is a trespasser in your heart. You would not tolerate a trespasser in your home. You wouldn't tolerate that. If you woke up this morning at 2:00 in the morning and there's some guy in your house stealing stuff, you're not going to go, I really should get him out of here, but it's so cold. I'm just going to stay here in bed where it's comfortable. Hope he doesn't take my new television. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You wouldn't tolerate a trespasser in your home. Why do you tolerate a trespasser in your heart? Amen. Bitterness is an intruder in the heart of a Christian. It must be removed. Your heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ lives in your heart. In your notes, every last speck of bitterness must be removed from the Christian. Every last speck of bitterness must be removed from the Christian. And you should have a statement number 7. Do you have a statement after that? Don, is it there? Yes. Your heart is Christ's home. Amen. And bitterness is not welcome. That's number 7. Your heart is Christ's home, and bitterness is not welcome. So my question to you should be obvious, brothers and sisters. I ask this with a heart of love. I ask this with a heart of pain. I ask this because the Lord laid this on my heart. I was going to preach from Matthew 24. You know that we're scheduled to do that, but for some reason, this was important to me. There are people in this room that have this intruder of bitterness in their hearts. And I'm calling you right now to remove it. Get it out of there. Bitterness is poison to your life. Bitterness will, this is the notes, bitterness will poison your life. Bitterness will poison your life. But more importantly than that, bitterness is forbidden for the Christian. That's 8 and 9. Bitterness will poison your life, and bitterness is forbidden for the Christian. So my question to you is this, or my statement to you is this, brothers and sisters. If you have nursed, cherished, or maintained bitterness in your heart towards someone else, you are disobeying God. If you have nourished, cherished, or maintained bitterness in your heart towards someone else, you are disobeying God. Do you want to continue to walk in the disgusting, bumpy, windy, dangerous road of sin? Or do you want to walk on the highway of King Jesus? Look at verse 31 again. Ephesians 4, 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. That, my friends, is the glorious King's highway. Being kind and compassionate, forgiving each other, that's the way of Jesus. Jesus invites you to rise above. Jesus invites you to rise above the horrible poison of bitterness and to cruise with him on the highway of love. Will you take the way of Jesus? I want you to pray right now. I believe with all my heart that there's people in this room, perhaps even me, that have bitterness in their hearts towards someone else. So I want you to pray right now. We're going to go into communion right now, but I want you to pray. So let's pray together. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I want you to pray right now, brothers and sisters, and I will pray with you. If you are bitter toward someone, you do not have that right. That is not a right you've been given by our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have the right to be bitter. So I want you to pray right now and say, Lord, is there someone in my life with whom I have harbored bitterness? Now I want you to take the King's Highway. Get rid, remove, evict all bitterness from your heart. And commit right now that you will love, do good, bless, pray for, and forgive that person. Heavenly Father, we worship you with all of our hearts for showing us the upward way. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that bitterness would not be welcome in our hearts, would not be welcome in this room, would not be welcome in this church. And we thank you for the glorious freedom that we will now walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. You should have an extra insert in your bulletin. Communion meditation or communion verses for meditation. This morning for communion, I just want you to enjoy the fact that God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. His love is deeper than the ocean. His love is higher than the sky. His love has nothing at all to do with who you are or what you have done. He loves you just because that's who he is. You will spend your entire life searching out the depths of the love of God. And when you die and meet Jesus face to face, you will discover that you only scratch the surface. So as Sally plays this morning, I want you to choose one of those verses and just meditate and soak up all the truth in those wonderful verses. Soak up all the truth in those wonderful verses as Sally plays. And when you are ready, come and partake of the undeserved grace of God.